listening to The People's Show.
You come at the King, you best not miss.
Left circle, Besser, one time slot shot, he scores. Brock Besser beats Jordan Binnington on the power play, and the Canucks are up 4-0.
With Seth, Dan, and Randeep.
The biggest thing to hit Canada because the Maple Leafs suck.
On the official home of the Canucks.
Goes all the way down the ice, here's Pettersson after it. He's got a chance at a breakaway. Pettersson in clean, is tripped by Murray, but he scores. Dinky Pete comes out of the box and puts the puck into the back of the net.
Sportsnet 650.
Welcome, citizens of the People's Show. We come to you live on Sportsnet 650 on your traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh First Nations. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. The People's Show with you until 7 o'clock. A full show. You can listen live on the Sportsnet app anywhere around the world. You can dial us in on demand anytime, anywhere. On Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, your favorite podcatcher. Please subscribe, leave a review. We do appreciate it. Need you to be a part of the show if you are listening live. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Cannot be the People's Show without you, the people. On today's program, our favorite former Canuck and yours, Shane O'Brien, after 4 o'clock. Adnan Virk at 5. Brent Seabrook, now with the Vancouver Giants, interim assistant coach. At 5:30, Irfan Ghaffar joining after 6 o'clock here on The People's Show as the Canucks are going streaking.
Not really.
Facts only. Well, technically, they've won two. That's a streak.
Two in a row is
one, two, yes.
I thought three is a streak.
Two in a row. That's a streak.
All right.
It's a pretty lame streak, but it's a streak.
You enjoyed the sunshine today.
I did. I've got positive vibes, guys. We don't know how many times we'll have positive vibes in this city this year.
Yeah.
During hockey season, anyways. I'm embracing it today. I'm smiling.
It was needed. It was needed.
You know what? I felt it was nice, though. I got to say, I actually slept in a bit today.
Okay.
I didn't really wake up till about, it was almost 10 a.m. And
ooh.
When I woke up, and I'm like, wait, I can actually see some light coming through my blinds for once. And I pulled up the blinds, and I saw the sunshine in all its glory, and I had a massive smile on my face.
Yep.
And I just went in my balcony, had a cup of coffee this morning.
Had a little spro.
Had a bit of a spro. And it was cold, it was chilly, it was a little windy. But I got to say, man, that sunshine got my day off to a really good start.
Yeah, it was needed. And it comes after a big Canucks win in the nation's capital. So
you know how positive I am?
How positive?
Yesterday, the Canucks had a 6.7% chance to win the or make the playoffs.
Okay.
Today, it's gone up to 17.2, boys.
17.2?
17.2, according to MoneyPuck. According to MoneyPuck.com.
Whoa. It went up 11%?
Yes.
So by one win?
That's what MoneyPuck told me.
Oh, wow. So last night, people said this win against Ottawa means nothing. That one victory against Ottawa meant a 10% increase in your chance of making the postseason.
And I am not mistaken, because I checked before the game. And then I went back this morning, and it said, I guess, a few other teams lost as well.
Yeah.
17.2%.
How does one win make that much of a difference?
Positive vibes.
Hey, guys, what if it still is really early?
All right. What was in that coffee you had this morning, Seth?
Listen, the sunshine. Not vitamin D, man.
It'll do wonders for you. Got a couple of positive calls on the post game last night. Everything's changing. It's It is... You know, we talked about it yesterday, you know, kind of what is this season about now? And, you know, I whatever the playoff probabilities may be, and I don't know, I'd like somebody to check MoneyPuck's math, but shouldn't be me. Just look back at my grade 12 calculus, Mark. You wouldn't want me checking that math.
At least you took grade 12 calculus. I didn't even attempt to take it.
Mm-mm.
That's a no for me.
It's going to be a no for me, Bob. This season, though, okay, you get a couple of wins. Let's live on that tree for a minute. You get a couple of wins over Montreal and Ottawa. You played well against Boston, relatively. Come up short because of your penalty kill again. Played well in Columbus. Maybe you should have had 3 wins and 7 points on a 5-game road trip based on how well you played. I think the way Travis put it last night, yeah, maybe we could have gone 3-1-1, but we didn't. Mm. We'll take what we can get. And I get that. Hey, try to keep it positive. Try to keep it light. You just won 2 in a row. But do you feel better about the Canucks play after seeing them against Ottawa and Montreal? I feel like we really need to remember the context of Montreal and Ottawa are two of the worst teams in the league right now.
Yeah, of course. But at the same time, what did we say when they lost to Buffalo and Detroit earlier this season?
Should have won those games.
Right. And then, you know, we're criticizing them.
Yep.
For not winning games they're supposed to win. And we can't take away victories they get against those teams. You know, you got to be intellectually honest about it, right? Which I usually say as my computer goes off again. But regardless, I do think they played a lot better than both those opponents. All you can do is play the team you're scheduled to play against, right? And what did they do? They outplayed both Ottawa and they outplayed both Montreal, right? And you got the victory in both those instances. So, yeah, they played well. Like, this was not a situation where they're like, they relied on Demko to stand on a set. Yes, that final flurry against Montreal, he was outstanding. He made the two-pat stack save, and it was tremendous. But they outchanced. They had more high-danger chances for than against in those two games combined. They had far more shots on goal than those teams combined. They were better than the two teams they played. So, yeah, give them credit for winning those two games. It's all about how you build on it at this stage.
Yeah, the Detroit and Buffalo games, at least there was hope at that point. Now we know with this team, there's not really hope. So that's why I think the expectations also tumbled over the last month, 2 weeks, whatever you want to call it. But what you get from those two games, yes, they are bad teams, is good vibes, right? You get some positivity around this team. You get the players feeling better about themselves. You get confidence. You know, Quinn Hughes picks up 4 assists. That is a game that he walks away with saying, yeah, I got it. You know, we're feeling good about ourselves. Bo Horvat gets that goal. You're feeling better about that. JT Miller scores that goal, and it felt like he couldn't do, you know, probably internally he's thinking, I can't do anything right now, but he scores that goal. The whole entire NHL is talking about him, let alone, you know, just being dwelling in negativity. The question I have, though, we do have to remember, is that these are two bad teams. The rest of the trip, they're outscored 11-5.
Yeah, right.
We can't forget that. They took care of business. They got the two W's. But when we start zooming out, the rest of that trip, it wasn't pretty. So I appreciate what happened in those two games.
I mean, a lot of that's built off the Pittsburgh game. Like, they didn't play, you know, it felt like Boston turned it on in the third period.
But, Reach, when we talk about results, though, they got the results against Montreal and Ottawa, and that's good. Even if they're playing better, they didn't get results in those other games.
Yeah.
So that's where I'm saying is like, yeah, okay, you might look at that Pittsburgh game and say a lot of that was there, but overall, they still got outplayed.
Right.
So you take it as it is, beating two bad teams to lift your confidence. That's the definition of a slump buster.
It almost felt like a little bit of a mirror game in both Montreal and Ottawa in, you know, teams that are having trouble connecting on the ice. Players are missing assignments. Players are out of position. Sloppy puck management on both sides. You know, it sounds so pessimistic, but yeah, it just felt like the Canucks were less bad than the other two teams at different points. You know, last night they played a strong game. But this is, you know, the takeaway for me is, you know, there's still talent on this team. And it's frustrating. Like, you see the passes Connor Garland can make that lead to big chances and led to a couple of goals last night. You see what JT Miller does. Quinn Hughes with 4 assists. Now, these are guys that can take care of lesser opponents. And one of the biggest disappointments of this season, they haven't done that. Like, they haven't faced a ton of playoff teams this year. They haven't faced a lot of surefire contenders or cup teams you expect to be playing for the cup this year. Like, Colorado is maybe the only one. Edmonton, Vegas, but Vegas was extremely depleted at the time that the Canucks played them. When I look through the numbers, the teams that they've outchanced their opponents in 10 games this year, 10 of the 24. Mm-hmm. Per natural stat trick, they've 4 of those games were against teams that are currently in a playoff position. So I guess from a process or a how are you playing up to your opponents, up to their level, you know, that's still a question mark I have for this team as they come back home. Because as the season goes on, yeah, 58 games left, you can play for the draft pick, whatever you want. I still want to see this team be able to compete and build on to something going into next year.
Well, at least see growth from individual players. More than anything, what I want to see is players coming back into form, right? Win or lose, see the players come back into form.
Yeah.
If you see that, hey, I don't care about results as much. And ultimately, that's what you want to see from a lot of these guys. Can you see Pettersson near his peak again? Can you see Besser get to that peak? Do you see Horvat grow as time goes on? Do you see Hoglander, you know, take that step? We've seen moments from him, but he's kind of been quiet recently as well, right? And can we see Garland do this for a full 82-game season and be at this level, right? So those are the things I'm more interested in from this point on, because, you know, we're sitting here and joking about the playoffs and the chances, yeah, or whatever. It's a pipe dream. Let's be real, right? You know, if you want to believe, that's fine. There's a long season. You can have a lot of fun with that. Sure, we'll see what happens. But it's a pipe dream. Like something magical is going to have to happen for that, for them to be a playoff team, right? And we still know the big picture. There is real change needed in this organization. If things are going to change, it will happen. Right now, doesn't look like it's imminent, right? Doesn't look like today or tomorrow. Doesn't look like anything's going to happen at this stage. But eventually, that's where it looks like things are headed and need to be headed, right? But as far as how they play these last two games, the other thing that I'm curious about, because a lot of things can be true at the same time, they outplay their opposition. But did they do anything different that can translate to Saturday when a good Pittsburgh team comes into town? And to Dan's point, when you're facing stronger teams, how do you look then? Because I did think last night they kind of looked like the 2019-2020 team a bit more,
yeah,
because they were ready to go and trade chances. It was more of a track meet back and forth. You allowed your skilled players to do their thing. Now, was that instructive from the coaches, or was it just because you're playing bad hockey teams and you're not a great hockey team yourself and it became a bit of a back and forth affair? If that's what it was, then nothing's going to translate till Saturday. But if they are starting to find a different way to play, or at least find their identity a bit more and lean into creating more chances and not be afraid of trading some chances, then maybe on Saturday it'll be more interesting. But to me, the test comes on Saturday. How do you look against the Pens? Because that's going to be instructive as to where this team might be trending.
Yeah, you played, you know, a couple of very loose defensive teams the last couple of nights, right? And that's what the Montreal Canadiens are. They're giving away pucks left, right, and center. The veteran, yeah, to the youngest player on that team. Ottawa, they're the worst team in hockey right now.
Ottawa's a mess.
They are bad. And Arizona is in that discussion, but here's the difference. Ottawa's actually trying to win. Arizona, yeah, we know what they are. Ottawa is a mess right now.
Ottawa thought they were going to take a step.
They thought they were, yeah, there was an expectation of at least getting closer, yeah, to the playoffs. Not to the playoffs, but at least being in the discussion of maybe in 2 years from now they could be a playoff team.
There are some injuries there, and of course the COVID outbreak. So, I mean, I can understand why they look like a broken team like they did last night.
They look broken. They look pretty messy in their own zone. They look, yeah, messy in every zone. My point is, though, with Pittsburgh, if you play sloppy hockey in front of them, or you get into that style of hockey where you're not tidy with the puck, which the Canucks haven't been, even in some of these wins, mm-hmm, you're in trouble because they counter you real quick.
Yeah, but at the same
time.
So,
like, you can't be sloppy as you were the last two games,
sure,
all right?
So
run and gun, I get it, but there's a limit to that.
No, I know, I get it. But at the same time, we sit here and say you got to lean into what you are as a team, and that is creating more chances. And if you're going to do that, you got to live with giving, yeah, up some chances going out the other way. I'll live with that.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'll live with that. I'll live with you making mistakes because you're being aggressive. I'm not going to be mad at them for being aggressive. At least play to your strength as a team. And it looked like that's what they did against Montreal and Ottawa. Again, can you do that against a team like the Pittsburgh
degree
Penguins?
Of difficulty goes,
right,
up way, way. And, you know, you're going to potentially see it on the scoreboard. You got to be okay with that risk. And,
yeah,
if Travis Green is willing to play that style of hockey, then you go with it. Then you lean into it. But as we've seen, he's not totally comfortable playing, mm-hmm, that hockey. And that's where I'm a little skeptical to say against Ottawa and Montreal, you may allow it as a coach, but are you going to allow it against a, yeah, team that can, you know, really hold it against you and put up a bunch of goals?
Because, yeah, they're working harder. The, mm-hmm, guys are working harder in recent games. But are you still giving message?
I still see a team that's a little bit disconnected on the ice. You know, their puck management still needs some work in their own end. You know, it was sloppy at times last night and even in the Montreal game. So those things, yeah, they're working hard, but are they working well? I need to see more of it. And, you know, that should be the case. This team has won two games in a row now, just twice this season.
We got a lot of reaction coming on in the text line.
Oh, yeah.
650, 650. Unsigned text. Come on, boys. They stink. All that means that we're watching the best. Sorry. They're the best of the worst crap, and crap is still crap. They still stink. So that means we're going to pick 7th or 8th in the draft.
All right.
So this individual is not reading into the performances too much.
If you're not going to make the playoffs, I get it. Getting a high draft pick is better. But
the season still means something to me, though.
It does. No, I get it. But what I'm saying, too, is as much as people talk about Shane Wright,
yeah,
your chances of getting the first overall pick, especially now in the NHL.
The Canucks are not going to have the highest lottery odds.
Right. That's not going to happen. That's not going to happen, right? So to me, that's not a realistic thing to kind of, you know, pin your hopes on necessarily, getting, you know, the first overall pick or anything. Now, are they going to be good enough to really get back into the race? And how close can they get, right? Because just to get to that point that people are texting in about, that worst case scenario being that, you know, team that just misses the playoffs. And I get it. I mean, if that's what you are consistently year in and year out, you're in hockey purgatory because you're not picking high enough, or you're not making the postseason. But the Canucks haven't really been that, right? I mean, the Canucks have either made the playoffs or they've had a top 10 pick every single year, right? So are the Canucks going to all of a sudden play well enough to just miss the playoffs? Even getting to a point where you're at 90 points or 88 points, this team's going to have to win over 60% of their games.
Yeah, it's nuts.
It's a tough task. And yeah. I'm not saying, you know, don't root on your team and hope that they don't win. It's just to go and say, even to get to that point, to just miss out on the playoffs or be the mushy middle team, you still have to go on an extraordinary run the rest of the way.
And there's a lot that could happen until then. Lots coming in on the Dunbar Lumber text line. Leafs are streaking. Yippee. Why are we talking about the Leafs on the Dunbar Lumber text
line? We got a Leafs fan texting in. This is the people show. We welcome all people, even Leafs fans.
I have to ban that number. No,
Ramsey and Langley, when Miller and Shen scored their goals, I was screaming at my TV. It was the most excitement I've had this season. Pure happiness for sure. And that's what I love as a fan. I mean, Chen's goal was just it was incredible. What's Alex Formanton doing? I don't really know, but love to see it from Luke Shen.
No, good for him. He looked like a you know, prime Yerky Lume just coming down the wing there, scoring a goal. It was beautiful.
Kevin from Poco, every year is a pipe dream for most teams. That's the reality in a cap league. That's the intrigue. I know people want to write off the year already, and from a playoff standpoint, it pretty much is. And that's why we're in the position we're in and talking about who might replace Jim Benning and all of these different sorts of things. Those conversations aren't going to go away until we have a definitive answer one way or the other. And we're pretty sure as to which way that answer is going, as we've talked about in recent days on the show. But in this season, there is still a lot to play for and a lot to plan for. And you're seeing more and more speculation around certain players of this club. And JT Miller's name continues to come up. Frank Saravalli, who is a Monday Hockey Insider with us, joins Halford and Bruff as well every Thursday, mentioned in a piece at Daily Faceoff today where he's listing trade candidates that JT Miller is someone that is thought of highly around the league, as he should be.
I wonder why.
That shouldn't really be a surprise. JT Miller is really good at doing that hockey. Mentioned the New York Rangers among the teams that are a suitor. We know Minnesota has been mentioned in the past. The club, of course, shot down any idea or thought that JT Miller may be shopped by this team at this time, but it just brings back to the forefront the reality that's staring this team in the face of what they are going to have to do next with this roster.
Well, the decision time. And what Frank also mentioned was, you know, Jim doesn't have a lot of authority here right now. At least that's the sense from his sources talking around the league when they've inquired here about players. So if Jim doesn't have much authority in this situation, as per Frank Saravalli, then it's not going to be up to him. Yeah. So the question becomes, what does ownership want? And as far as what move do you make and who do you bring in? And this is where the organization is going to have to make a decision. What do you want to do? And part of, you know, I think the reason they're dragging their feet, and I don't want to say necessarily dragging their feet, but taking their time to figure things out, it's also assess everything. Because if you want to come to a conclusion, especially when you consider that ownership, Francesco sat here and told us on our show that he really believes in this team. He really thinks they're going to be good. So if he truly believes in this core and these players, does he want to trade a player that this organization right now sees as one of their only real strong leaders or one of their best leaders? They really value JT Miller in this organization. And that's why they came out so forcefully when the trade stuff came out, because they don't want to lose him. I don't think this organization wants to lose JT Miller. Now, what do you do big picture-wise? Could that change down the road? Who knows? I mean, none of us really know what direction this organization is going to take in a few months' time, right? But as it stands, I don't think this organization has any interest in losing JT Miller's leadership. And if anything, they would probably prefer to extend him. Now, does JT want to stay long-term? Then it comes down to what direction are you going in? Can you sell the players on you're back on the right track again? It's a very, very tough situation with JT Miller specifically, and even to a maybe even larger extent, Bo Horvat, because their contract situations are exactly the same, UFAs after next season.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a tough decision. It's a tough conversation to have. But at this point in time, if you know you sense that the market is real high right now, the guy's an 80-point player. He's on pace for that again. He's just shy of one, you know, point per game. And if that long-term future isn't in Vancouver, you have to start having that conversation now, because
he'd arguably be the best player available on the market.
That's a fair assessment. But here's the issue. There's not many teams with cap space, right? So you're probably looking at a cash-in, cash-out kind of situation.
Yeah.
And, you know, which is fine. The Canucks would be looking for more talent. But how many teams actually want to shed a player of quality off their roster right now? Probably not many.
Well, so, like, to take New York as an example, maybe they throw Ryan Strome back the Canucks' way. It's an expiring contract.
Yeah.
You're done with it at the end of the year, then you get more cap flexibility.
So the reason I ask that is the price is going to be high now, but to Sat's point, there's a couple of things you have to keep an eye on. Business is one of them. If you end up dealing your best player at this point in time in the next month or so or whatever in the lead-up to the deadline, that's a tough thing to sell, A, to your group, and B, to your fan base that still has to probably attend 30 games, and you're trying to get them to. And JT Miller is a damn good player. So
he's the best player on the team.
The question I have is that deal, does that make sense now? From a value perspective, I understand why it would. Or does it make sense at the end of the year where you're saying, all right, we can have a quick conversation on whether your future lays here or not? Oh, it doesn't? Okay. And then you make a deal at the draft. There are still some issues that you have to, you know, take in season. It's a little tougher to make that move from a business and a hockey sense, because you still, he is your leader, as Sat mentioned. Mm-hmm. And from a business sense, it's tough to make that move when you're trying to sell tickets.
It's this is why it's frustrating that the franchise is kind of in this state of purgatory where they're waiting or deciding on who is going to take this team forward, because, you know, every day is lost time. Every day that passes is lost time to assess the roster, everything you have available to you. What are your trade assets? What are your areas of weakness? Like, the new guy's going to have to come in and do all of these things. I'm sure they will have a thought and a process that earns them the job when they go through the interviewing process, but you're still going to learn a lot of things once you get into the building and start doing the work, right? So those are things that I think have to be thought of. And every day that goes by where you haven't made that decision is lost time, because you have to start thinking about all of these things ahead of the deadline. Even if it is, we're setting this price. If somebody wants to meet it, then okay. If not, we're going to carry this out into the summer. Like, those are the types of decisions I would think you have to start planning for. And as we've seen, this club hasn't done enough planning in the past.
You still have time until the trade deadline, right?
Yeah.
But it does all of a sudden fast approach once you get to the new year. Like, it doesn't, you know what I mean? So you have to have a clear organizational direction by the deadline.
Well, you're also going to have 3 weeks off in February, right?
Well, like, we'll see.
Potentially.
We'll see. It's either going to be 3 weeks off or a week off,
depending on
what happens with the Olympics.
Like, you're going to have like a month and a bit to assess the roster if you get into this team
fairly
quickly.
No, I will say, though, I think even from the outside, it's not like you have to necessarily be hands-on for 40 games to understand what needs to be done. You know what I mean? I think you can catch up pretty quickly here and put two and two together and figure things out, get a lay of the land. So I don't necessarily think, you know, I think there is time to figure that part of it out. But more than anything, you got to just make a clear organizational direction. Because if you are, say, going to continue building on this, you want to extend JT and Bo, then you got to do something that makes them want to stay, right? You got to show them a plan. You got to move forward. You got to have some success, especially next season. But if you feel like you can't, then all of a sudden you can't afford not to move those guys at some point.
Yeah.
Because you can't let guys of that important, of that big of importance to this organization, the asset value they have, walk as free agents. So you're either extending them or you're trading them. There's no in between with guys like that. You got it. That's why the direction has to be clear by the deadline, and even more so at the very least by the start of next season.
Well, that's
otherwise,
the key date,
what are you
right?
doing then?
You can't start the year with lack of clarity on both of those issues.
So that's the worst case scenario.
That is the hard deadline. Yeah. If those conversations have been had is one thing, but yeah, starting next year without clarity, either one of those players, whether it's Bo Horvat or JT Miller, you most definitely have to do that. I'm a little bit more, you know, I'm a little bit more chill on this year's trade deadline, but the offseason is really my hard deadline.
It's the People's Show. Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah, and Randeep Janda. All right. Wrong answers only. We'll keep this Canucks conversation going. Loving all the texts that are coming in on it, but we do have a wrong answers only. Randeep was a big I think we all had a chuckle when we saw the sign of the game last night.
We all did.
Extend Benning?
It was quality producing on the television side, I will say.
When I saw that sign, wrong answers only came to mind immediately.
Okay.
Immediately.
What was it?
What will be the next Canucks-related sign? What sign will we see next at a Canucks game?
What sign will we see next at a Canucks game? Wrong answers only. 650 on the Dunbar Lumber text line. We'll hear it from you. More on the Canucks next. Sportsnet 650.
Welcome to the People's Show with Dan, Sat, and Randeep.
Ah, perfect. The wrong answers only music. Sportsnet 650's The People's Show is presented by your local Grip Auto and Tire location. Winter Tire Service and expert advice are waiting for you at gripauto.ca. What sign will we see next at a Canucks game?
Oh, we got a lot of great ones coming in. Ben from Richmond saying, welcome back, Lyndon.
Torgy, Billy Madison for team president.
We got a lot of these ones.
Yeah.
Jeff the Nurse came in with it, but a bunch of others. Messier for coach. Hire Messier. Messier for president.
Yep.
Take your pick.
President of hockey ops, Mark Messier. Seems like a great fit.
I love this one. Adam, the former bath guy. Sat secretly loves password.
What?
At the next Canucks games. I want to see it.
Oh, man. Nuh-uh.
I would love to see that at the next Canucks
game. We challenge you.
You know, that doesn't make it any more likely.
I just want to see it.
Who are we going to have to bribe to get it on the broadcast?
I don't think we're going to have to. I'll talk to Greg Shannon. Maybe Greg Shannon can make it happen.
I'm going to have to talk to Greg, too. Greg's going to get all these messages. Like, what the hell's going on?
Greg's probably listening right now.
Yeah. Devin, wrong answers only. Pearson for captain.
Ooh. Is there going to be a rift between Pearson and Bo over who should be the captain?
I don't know, guys. They were even sitting in the penalty box at the same time last night. I'm like, these guys can't be separated. They took penalties at the same time.
I can't let you take a penalty without me.
They're Paul Rudd and Jason Siegel and I Love You, Man. That's Pearson and Bo Horvat.
This one from North Korea. Korea.
Like Paul. Paul
yes.
Korea.
Paul.
Yeah.
Or Steve.
I heart John Weisbrod. Wrong answers only.
That's pretty good.
That is definitely a wrong answers only.
Absolutely. This one, unsigned. Put your name on it if you're being this savage. Pedersen is our new Eriksson.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow.
Ooh.
I thought that was Hoglander, but because the number.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I think they're talking about something else.
Well, you know, just a sidebar for a second. You guys were talking about, you know, password sign. I can get behind this. Raj from Cloverdale. Sign at the Canucks game. Password sucks.
We don't want to see that one. Don't you dare try that one.
I will never forget Sat's face when he burst open the door yesterday while we were doing password.
Oh, I was...
almost as mad as when I thought he said Pulisic is better than Alphonso Davies.
That was hilarious. You stormed into... and Bick and I are just looking at you going, what is going on?
I agree with you, Reach.
We said Davies is better. You're like, oh.
Oh, my bad.
Excuse me. He walks out of the room.
It was a Seinfeld-esque moment. It was really good.
Unsigned text.
We got one here, signed.
Okay.
Moen Langley, welcome home, Evander.
Oh, boy.
In my books, that's definitely a wrong answer.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely a wrong answer.
This one, unsigned, actually comes from Torgi. Luke Shen for Norris.
Ooh, man.
He might win the Norris if he plays the Ottawa Senators every night.
That goal.
He might.
That goal was pretty impressive, man.
So JT Miller's goal was a nicer goal.
Yeah.
But Luke Shen's goal was more impressive because it was him scoring that goal.
Yeah. It was... he just dropped the shoulder and drove the net. I mean, how many times have we been saying guys should do that more often in this city over the last few years?
He was able to bend his knee and dip his shoulder and then go top cheese. Man, the Canucks have had power forwards that were drafted high that couldn't do that.
Did Bick talk about Luke Shen's hips today?
Dude,
did we hear that rant today? I don't know
if we did. His hips are great.
It's all in the hips, man. I'm with Bick on this one. It's all in the hips.
It's all in the hips.
It's all in the hips.
See, Chubbs wasn't talking about golf. He was actually talking about hockey, you know?
Shakira was talking about the same. Hips don't lie. They don't lie, boys.
In football
it's
and
the first
hockey,
time
yeah.
Chubbs and Shakira are going to be thought of in the same conversation.
Sorry, I was thinking about Shakira at the time.
Wow. Crypto Cow, wrong answers only. Kevin F. for Hockey Press. Yeah. Oh, wow. Maury the Mill Guy. How far Pedersen's fallen. Maury the Mill Guy. Vote for Petey like the Vote for Rory campaign.
Ooh. Ooh. Wow. Okay, there was a Louis Erickson comparison before. Now we got a Rory Fitzpatrick comparison.
Wow. For those who may not know, Rory Fitzpatrick was a depth defenseman who played on a third pair role in the early 2000s for the Canucks. Well, I mean, it was a 2006 or whatever it was.
He's the OG John Scott.
Yeah, and Canucks fans almost got him voted into the All-Star game. 15 years ago.
First time I believe this person is texting. Gary the Coward.
Okay, Gary.
Gary with a coward coming in with wrong answers only. The sign should say green for GM and Benning to coach.
Oh, wow.
Well.
Well, if you're keeping him around, switch up the roles a little bit.
Tony from Lake Cowichan. Anyone have Tort's phone number? There's his sign.
Okay.
Greg from Surrey, the guy from Captain Phillips is the captain, guys.
Look at me.
I thought it was Robbie Johal.
It's Robbie Johal.
Robbie is the captain.
More on the Dunbar Lumber text line.
Wrong answers only. Robbie Johal for president. Wow. I'm with that.
Absolutely.
KD, Ted Lasso for coach, GM, and president. You think Vanni Sartini could coach both the Whitecaps and Canucks at the same time?
So last night, off air, Bick and I had an interesting conversation. He brought up, he's like, what do you think would happen if you got a soccer coach coming into hockey and trying to teach defensemen? They might actually figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah.
Especially with how soccer coaches see the game and they understand, you know, how to tie things together. You know, if you want to go outside the box, bring a soccer coach in.
Close the space! Triangles! Come on!
Sir Alex Ferguson.
Andiamo!
Sir Alex Ferguson's available, guys. Come on, he's in retirement. Bring him over. Get him to work alongside Bradshaw and Nolan Baumgartner. All three of them together working on that defense.
It would work pretty great. I think we just thought of a new TV show.
You know what? Ralph, you know, Southampton went after Ralph Kruger.
Yeah. Chairman. He was the chairman of St. Mary's.
And he did well there, right? He did well. Why don't we try the inverse of that? Maybe it'll work in hockey.
Mike and Tawasin coming in with this one. A sign with a picture of a cool wet rag. I get disappointed when we don't see wrong answers only and a cool wet rag's not among them. So thank you, Mike and Tawasin.
Jackie Moon for president. That's one unsigned text.
Diamonds on diamonds on diamonds.
Nick Pfeiffer. Is Mike Keenan available?
Lyndon was right. It's wrong because they won't let it in the building.
Wow. Okay, this one. Unsigned. Otto's goal was legit. Eric in North Van. He kicked it in!
We're not over that one yet, all right? Come on.
How many years is it now? Come on.
Doesn't matter.
He kicked it in.
He did. He kicked it in.
We don't forgive, nor do we forget in the city.
Mm-mm.
Doesn't happen that way. Mike in the Valley. 8 more years. 8 more years.
Wow. So good.
Wrong answers only. We are a team like that, Drew Doughty. That's a good one.
LA is rolling into town. Oh, no, sorry. Canucks are going to LA next week. Yeah, that's right. And Drew Doughty's back.
Since if we're going auto kicked it in, may as well have a sign that says we shouldn't have traded Neely.
Should have instead of have. Yes. That would have been the best. Chelsea, the Demko fan. Wrong answers only. Benning made me a Kraken fan.
That one's pretty good. I can see it. Kraken aren't much better. All right, that's wrong answers only here on the People's Show. Do it every day on the program. So the Canucks returning home, they'll play Pittsburgh. And we did get a lot of texts about our conversation around, you know, the future of this team and how you go about setting yourself up, bringing somebody in, and what that would mean. JT Miller is without a doubt our best player throughout this bleep show. He's the one guy that still delivers. Another text. What's with all the Scott Mellenby talk? Why leak these names if Canucks won't make a move? Why keep Benning if he can't make moves? It's kind of the conversation we brought up a little bit earlier. The search is ongoing. Is Mellenby an option? I mean, he's highly thought of around the league. As we talked about yesterday, Sat, and you reported yesterday on the show, it's a name that comes up quite a bit in these types of conversations.
Yeah, his name is definitely out there. Now, does that mean the Canucks have reached out and spoken to Scott Mellenby? I don't know, right? I can't say that they have, and they may not have, right? But as far as a name that we've heard, and Friedman mentioned it as well, that's a name that's out there. Still, though, I don't believe the Canucks have made a decision on what they want to do yet, right? I think a lot of this is fact-finding, trying to figure out, you know, a list of candidates potentially and figure out really what you want to do. And as much as, you know, we thought, okay, we'll have some clarity on this, there isn't more clarity today than what we had a week or two ago. It's still the process we mentioned. This team, the organization was very caught off guard by how things went awry as badly as they did. They did not foresee this. They did not want to make these big changes now. And now they're considering what to do. And I think part of him is hoping that they somehow go on a run and everything eases a little bit. But I don't know if that's realistic. And I do think, like I said yesterday, the type of person we ultimately hear them truly linked to is going to tell us a lot about what they're willing to do moving forward. How much do you want to invest in a front office? What type of structure do you want to have? If you're hiring a GM first and a guy that doesn't have any GM experience, well, it doesn't seem like you're going to bring a president above him, you know, a week or two later, because why would you hire a GM and then a president above him, right? So if you hire a president like the Habs did, then we can look at it and say, okay, they're trying to build out a president GM operation. It's a big plan they have, and it looks like they're going to spend a lot on getting this figured out. But if that's not what they do, then I think it gives a bit of an indication of what they're looking to do and how much investment they want to put into that, right? And right now, I don't really see them being linked to guys with a lot of experience, right? The Bergevin thing is, doesn't seem like there's a lot there.
Yeah.
Gorton, they were never really there. Mm-hmm. And the candidates are kind of pretty slim right now.
It does make you think, though, right? Because we talked about this yesterday as well. What does winning really achieve right now from a big picture aspect? And I think most of us are in agreement that, you know, the aim, the long-term change still needs to happen. This maybe buys some time in the short term. It maybe decreases the temperature a little bit, but it does give you a little bit of time to figure out those things that, in the meantime, the team, they pick up a couple of wins and at least gets fans a little quiet, a little quiet. It just a little bit more, you know, the degrees of the temperature go down a little bit and makes media, you know, focus on maybe on the wins for a couple of days rather than what's happening next. We're talking about it, but it does give you a little bit more time to maybe execute that plan. In the short term, it still does point you in the direction of a coach is coaching with knowing that probably there's going to be a change at some point. A GM is managing it with, you know, knowing that at some point that change is still coming. Those are the realities of the situation. But the organization, does this buy you a little bit time to make that change or at least go after that name and, you know, a president's role or a GM's role, can you kick the can down the road? Because if you're not feeling maybe the candidates out there, to your point, Sat, you know, we've heard of some names, Mellenby, we've heard of some higher profile individuals as well, whether there's a fit there or not. But by waiting, is this a benefit for the Canucks in terms of assessing who's out there? You know, will there be more people in the offseason? Do you want to kick the can down the road that far? Or is that change have to come sooner? Because Mellenby's the one name we've heard just in terms of conversation. Hey, Saturday night when that happened, that was a name that popped up on, I think, most people's minds, saying he's got links to Vancouver. Of course it would make sense. But we're not hearing many other names beyond that. So it does want make you wonder, you know, how long might they be willing to wait if they do have that luxury? And that's a big if.
Well, the other possibility is they're quietly doing some stuff and it's just not getting out there.
Yeah.
Yep.
They could be quiet on these on this thing. Look, there's not a lot of names that get floated around in GM conversations. That's why you often see a bit of the carousel of the same names get trotted out there. Jim Rutherford and
Dale Tallon.
Dale Tallon and guys that maybe have recently gotten fired, like a Scott Mellenby. Or, you know, there's AGMs around. But this team just went down that road with Jim Benning. And I know it's lasted 8 years, but it hasn't been a success. Do you want somebody with some level of experience to, as we've talked about in the past, be able to set up a structure and just this is the Canucks way of doing things from here on out while I'm around?
That is the biggest need, in my opinion, right? Like having that organizational direction, having that vision, having that buffer. Also, in another way, like some GMs have
experience tends to cost money.
For sure it does. But if you want to be taken seriously as an organization again, guess what? It's a move you're probably going to have to make at some point. Mm-hmm. And unless you're getting Ken Holland, who can play both roles as a president and a GM, it's going to cost you probably two jobs on that, where you're looking at somebody to play that president role or somebody to play that GM role. You know, you're going to need both of those individuals unless you're willing to take out the checkbook like Daryl Cates did in Edmonton and say, all right, Ken Holland, this is your operation. I'm taking a step back.
Yeah.
That is a vision that's required. Not to say the owner doesn't have a say in that vision, but the hockey decisions and the vision of the hockey team on ice and, you know, and scouting and all of that, there's got to be one singular vision there and it's got to be consistent. You got to stick to the plan. So I'm saying the same thing I said 2 years ago, guys. I think that's needed. Mm-hmm. In this market, which is a hotbed, you have to have one individual that focuses on what's going on with the team and this other noise and the media commitments, which the Canucks over the last couple of years have not done well with. They haven't been able to communicate well.
Yeah.
You have to have a solution for both things, and it still requires that type of president-GM relationship.
One thing I will say, though, and this is not to take them off the hook or anything, it is very hard to find a good communicator president who knows hockey really well and can set up an organization. Like, those guys are not around a lot, right? And people are texting in Mike Gillis, people are texting in Dean Lombardi, and people are texting in Jim Rutherford and all those sort of names, right? And yeah, to some
degree. Same three names we've been hearing for years.
You hear them all the time. Yeah. Now, those guys can communicate, but at the same time, they're also guys. Now, Gillis is different, but there's a lot of history here, which makes it such an awkward situation, right? But the other guys are guys that also want to have a lot of hands-on approach. So if you want to bring them on, is that who you want to run the show and make your hockey decisions and really build things out? Can one of them take a step back, let's say Rutherford, and be the pres and let somebody else be the GM? Or does he want to kind of really shape the organization? And who does
he's
he
a gunslinger, man. Well, he doesn't lurk in the shadows. So, he's a gunslinger.
So my point is to find what you're describing, and you're not right. That's what, you know, that would be an ideal thing to have.
Yeah.
It's very hard to find that, though, right? And, you know, perhaps you could have had opportunities in the past to find that person. You didn't. And I think the biggest thing about it is it's hard to find. But if you're constantly looking for this type of stuff and you have, like Mike Ford mentioned on the 32 Thoughts podcast with Friedman and Merrick, that if you're always planning ahead, even if you have people in place, you're planning on, okay, who can the next guy be? Who's out there? Let's build a list of prospects. If you have that going for 5-6 years, you're always going to be ready to act when things happen. But if you just start from scratch and all of a sudden the Canucks are all of a sudden now trying to figure out what to do, in a short period of time, to find the person you're mentioning, Grandy, that takes a long time to find.
Oh, for sure.
And that makes it hard. But then it comes back again to, this is why it's so important to have a plan from the top of the organization and do your due diligence at all times. Because when crap hits the fan, you're not just floating in the wind, not knowing what to do, right? You're just shook about what to do. You don't know where to start to wipe it off the wall, right? But if you have a plan, it makes it a bit easier to manage.
And that's, you know, one of the reasons they find themselves here is they didn't have a contingency plan that they really could execute on immediately as things started to go sideways here for this season. You know, I think it is really important that this gets settled soon, just in the sense of what is to come. Again, the deadline, those types of things have to be set out, and you have to start planning for what the future of this team looks like. Even if it's as simple as we talked about a couple of days ago, Randy, starting to have contract conversations with Brock Besser and what that looks like, you know, instead of getting to the summer and it's like, okay, well, are we doing this qualifying offer or not? You know, you have to start planning for the future. And that sucks because you're kind of looking beyond this season already. But I think that's just the right thing to do for this franchise, given how poor this start has been. Because as we talked about, the pipe dream of the playoffs is all that it is. It's a pipe dream now.
It is. And, you know, when you're building out the long-term success of the organization, I get it takes a lot of work, but you're going to have to start at some point. You're going to have to start at some point to invest in that group, whether it's a president, you know, position, whether it's additional voices in that executive group. If you look at how dysfunctional owner James Dolan is, which he is, I'm a Knicks fan. I know that better than anybody. But when they got rid of Davidson and Gordon, Chris Drew is ready to go. He was one of the, you know, most often sought after individuals in hockey for the next GM job. They're ready to go. They're developing.
He also caught a pretty big payday, Chris Drury.
Yeah, for sure he did. He absolutely did. But
well, he's like, to work for this gong show.
But they also did work him into that group and developed him as an executive. And guess what happens? When, you know, James Dolan loses it, he was ready to go, right? Yeah. The Canucks do need to develop a bit of a pipeline as well. So you're right, Sat. It takes time and effort. Mm-hmm. There's no better time than now.
Well, I mean, I don't disagree about that, right? And, you know, the interesting thing is, there's you mention a guy like Dolan, and you're right, but at the same time, he will spend, though, right? And not to say ownership doesn't spend on, they spend
maybe
the
recklessly Dolan,
right?
Yeah.
But like, he will go after the top execs and pay the premium price for them, right? So he will go and do that. What are you willing to do here in this situation, right? And the biggest thing this team needs is someone that can manage up to the owner. That's what it is. But here's the thing: you have to be willing to find someone to manage up to you. And that's what has to happen, right? You got to find that buffer, but you have to be willing to put that buffer in place yourself. And are they willing to do that?
It's, you know, whoever or however they choose to set this up, they do need to beef up their front office, you know, and really have, you know, more people collaborating on how this franchise should be put together and moves that it makes and those types of things. You look at, you know, the best teams around the league, they do have pretty, you know, extensive front offices. And, you know, the Leafs are there. We saw it with Vegas. Yeah, sure, they started with George McPhee and Kelly McCrimmon as an AGM. Now McCrimmon or McPhee bumped up to president. McCrimmon is the GM. And you spread out the duties a little bit more. It takes a little bit more pressure off of everybody involved, but it's a collaboration. Not one, like, this isn't the NHL of years past where one guy can do everything. I think we should realize that now.
Right. Now, I will say, though, I mean, the thing is, there's a reason this team has so much talent accumulated here, too.
Yeah.
They have good people working in this organization, right? It's not like, you know, this is why I'm not a believer in get rid of every single person that works for this team, right, on an executive level, because a lot of them do good work, right? Now, the key decision makers, you know, Jim, he's got a lot more responsibility. If you want to look at some mistakes that he's made, a lot easier to point to, right? But I do think there are people here that do good work. So you do have a foundation to build upon. So if you do bring in a new GM, I think you absolutely need a president. That's what you need 100%.
Yeah.
Like, from an executive level, you need one more guy above the GM. The rest you can figure out. I mean, I don't even necessarily think you need, you know, 25 guys in a boardroom all deliberating about what to do.
Yeah.
I honestly think it's as much as get one person above the GM and then fill in a few more spots. But if you do that, that one person makes such a big difference in these types of situations.
Yeah, and an organization that's been, for the most part, last 4 or 5 years, kind of going back and forth, a bit lost. Sometimes they have one aim. Next time, you know, around, it's a different aim. That direction, that plan is something that I know Francesco Aquilini mentioned that he supported Jim Benning's plan, but here's the problem. The plan's been shifting a lot over the last few years. You don't want that with an organization. And that's what a president of hockey operations, hopefully in this market can change, is that the plan stays a plan for a while rather than just going back, forth, reverse, park, neutral. You know, you're doing donuts in the parking lot when you think you should be going forward. And it feels like the Canucks for the last little bit have been kind of spinning in circles. When you think there's progress, nope, they're just in the same spot they were the year before.
Shane O'Brien will join us. Mr. Curfew podcast, of course, our favorite former Canuck and yours. His take on the Canuck struggles. And, I mean, he had some pretty interesting thoughts on Elias Pettersson over the summer. How does he feel about Pettersson's start to the season? We'll talk to Obi more on the Canucks and the completion of my Vancouverite card.
Oh, yes. Do you?
Yeah. We'll get to it coming up in a little bit.
Completion.
Sports at 650.